Jesus Christ. They'll say, I've got a lot of time for the Sermon on the Mount. And the Christian says, I agree. I agree with all of that. But Jesus is so much more. And we're going to see from this passage that I'm hoping to unpack a little bit this morning, just how much more. And the truth is that we could get 8-10 sermons from this, and I've got half an hour. So, you know, it's going to be a bit of a summary, a bit of a whistle stop, but not bad for that reason. Come with me. Let's see what John says about Jesus. This bit of John's Gospel is called the prologue. And somebody wrote that it's poetical in form and structure and constitutes a hymn to the Word of God. And I love that John starts his Gospel with a praise song. I hadn't realized that before. It's poetical in form and it's a hymn to the Word of God. John has started his Gospel with a hymn of praise to Jesus. And just a word before we start in, probably a word of preparation, because as some of you know, John talks about Jesus and he calls him the Word. The Greek is logos. And that's not a word that means much to you and me, unless you've gone into these things, but it probably meant something to John's readers. And here's a quote that might help, or it might if the slide would change. Have I not got it turned on, Andy? Nope. Okay, you're going to have to change it for me, I think. That might have been Andy. The idea of the Word of God, or Logos, has its ancestry in Jewish teaching about the Word of God. The Logos is a being whose existence lies beyond time. It implies that the Word always was, that there was no point in time when he was not. So with that in mind, let's read the passage, and as we do so, let's answer the question, who is Jesus? John 1:1-18, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Now, Chris apologized the other day because he had not three things to say, but five, I think it was. Well, I'm sorry, mate, I've got eight. But I promise I'm not going to spend very long on each of them. Things that John tells us in answering the question, who is Jesus? And that's the first. He says, Jesus is divine. He says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Eternally the second person of the Godhead. If you're young or not so young, try and get your heads round a little bit, as much as it's humanly possible, some of these things. Just, oh yeah, yeah. No, try and get a bit deeper. Eternally the second person of the Godhead. There never was a time, says John, when Jesus was not. There never was a time. He was God and he is God. And you know, we can't think back to a time when this wasn't here. That's not our fault, it's the way we're made. But Jesus, in one of his prayers, says to God about the love which the Father had for him before the world was begun, before the world was in existence. There was always a relationship of love between the Godhead, even before the world was created. It's hard to understand, but it is. Jesus says in John 17, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. That's John's first point, that Jesus is God. Someone wrote, the deeds and words of Jesus are the deeds and words of God. Jesus is in closest relationship with the Father. And so we contend that Jesus is much more than just a great teacher, that he is much more than a role model who, if men would copy, they would live better lives. Yes, but it's more. It's more. Jesus is God. In the Lion Handbook, it has these words. In the Word, God speaks to man. He is the most perfect and complete expression of the person of God we can ever know. He is far and away above all humanity, God's executive in creation. That's John's first point. His second point is this. Jesus is creator. John says, through the Word, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Active in all creation. All things were made by God through Jesus. And you know, this is just astonishing, really. He was a carpenter. His dad was a carpenter. He was doing the family trade, the family business. The Jews found it impossible to get their heads round it. We know him. We know his father. He's a carpenter. Through him, all things were made that have been made. When I sat on the boat at Tollesbury the other night and I looked through the far window and I saw the sunset across the marshes, all things were made. You know, man made the boat, God made the sunset. And I felt, you know, just quickened to my heart. I felt as if it was God saying, well, you guys, you do some pretty cool things, but just look at what I can do. Just look what I can do. The skies are ablaze with glory. All things were made through him. Nothing was made that has been made except through our Lord Jesus. His second point is he's the creator. Someone wrote, all created things are sustained by him. He is the fountain of life. All forms of existence and energies of life have their source in him. Are you starting to get the drift that John wants us to have a really high view of Jesus? Yeah? Are you starting to get this? Because this is what John, I'm convinced this is what John wants his readers to get. You can't get higher than Jesus. I'm amazed that I didn't get an amen then. Okay, let's push on. The next thing John says, Jesus was life. He says, in him was life. Your life. We think, oh, well, that means eternal life, you know, and yes, it does. But it means more than that. It means, you know, all the life that exists, our planet teems with life, doesn't it? Where did it all come from? It came from God through Jesus. The life force that lives within us. He gave it to us. He's the giver of life. Something had to happen to create all there is around us that makes it live. When I put plants in the ground, if I'm lucky, they don't just go there. If I remember to water them, they live and grow. There is a tremendously strong life force at work in the world that we live in. The life comes from God through Jesus. In him was life. And yeah, I could go on and talk to you about eternal life, but I haven't got time. Because I need to move on to the next thing about Jesus that John says, is that he was light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Five times John mentions Jesus as light in this passage, and other times later in his gospel, he says, Jesus is the light of the world, the light of all mankind, the one who gives light to everyone, a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, I looked at some other translations. Sorry, I'm getting very dry mouth. To see what they said. And here's one or two things. One translation says the darkness cannot overpower it. One says it can't suppress it. One says it can't understand or comprehend it. Another says darkness isn't receptive to it. I like J.B. Phillips. The light still shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. The darkness has never put it out, but it has tried. And it still tries. Do you remember when Jesus was in Gethsemane and they sent a group of soldiers and priests, servants of the high priest and so on, to arrest him? And he said some words to them. He said, you could have arrested me openly. I did everything openly in the temple. But this is your hour, the hour when darkness reigns. Don't you think the powers of hell must have been rejoicing when Jesus was on the cross? What came upon the earth? While Jesus was on the cross, darkness. Why is the system playing up when I'm talking about darkness? Why is it? What are you not supposed to hear now? Why is your attention supposed to be diverted away? Stick with it. Concentrate. I'll use the other mic if needs be, if this one's going to be silly. But don't get diverted. talking about hell's rejoicing while Jesus is on the cross. Darkness for 3 hours. Dead. Buried. Everything ended. Everything over. Light extinguished. Darkness reigns. Wrong. The light is inextinguishable. You can't put it out. Church history is full of darkness, of persecution. World. The darkness is always trying to put out the light. And it always fails. There's a cost. There's a price. But it always fails. I'm old enough to remember when China became closed to the outside back in the time of Mao Zedong. And no one knew what was going on. And people said, can the church survive such a situation? What will happen? In a land of darkness. And when China opened up a bit and people found out, they found there was a church of 50 million. A church that didn't have outside influences, it only had the Bible. A church that believed that Christian life is supposed to be like the Acts of the Apostles. A church of power. And China still persecutes the Christian church. And the church still won't lay down and die. Because the light always overcomes the darkness. Jesus said to his disciples, you know, guys, if the world hates you, you've got to remember, it hated me first. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And his followers, you and me, are called to be children of light and to walk in the light as he is in the light. So, on to the next one. Who is Jesus? I hope that by now I have painted the picture that I believe John wants to paint of a high and exalted Jesus. A Jesus who is the light of the world, in whom is life. But let's also remember that John taught us. John taught us that Jesus was rejected. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Unrecognized by the world and rejected by his own, the Jewish people. And as I read that bit, those words from Isaiah came into my mind. Who is Jesus? He was despised and rejected by others, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised. And we esteemed him not. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Most of the people to whom Jesus came rejected him. Most of those to whom he comes today still reject him. They just don't want to know. You know, there's a wonderful yet coming. There's a great yet coming. For what of those who did receive him? What of those who do receive him today? Jesus is he who offers a place in the family of God. It says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's a pretty good yet, isn't it? That's a pretty good yet. the right to become children of God. In Psalm 2 and verse 8, God is speaking to the king. It's a messianic psalm. It goes beyond the king. It goes to Messiah, who is to come. It comes to Jesus. He says, "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession." Ask of me. The rejected Jesus, the despised Jesus, the suffering servant, now has a worldwide family throughout time, throughout the earth, that numbers millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of those who have not rejected him, who do not despise him, who seek to honor him and glorify him. I don't know whether to trust the figure. I don't trust lots of figures. I read statistics, you know, what they say about statistics. But I read on one report that somebody calculated in 2015 that in the world there were 2.4 billion Christians. Let's say they got it 100% wrong. There were actually only 1.2 billion. Ask of me, I'll give the nations the ends of the earth. Wonderful. The family of God. Paul talks about it in Romans 8. He says, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba Father." Second from last, who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word made flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. When we want to read about Christmas, we usually go to, we usually go to Luke, don't we? And then to Matthew, you know, and we read about the stable and the, you know, the kings and the shepherds and the donkey and all that swaddling. But isn't this where we should start when we want to talk about Christmas? Isn't this the heart of the Christmas message? I think it is. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The incarnate Son of God, as theologians like to say. And it is amazing. You know, the transcendent second person of the Trinity, he's out there, beyond my comprehension, beyond my ability to get my head round even a little bit of it, suddenly becomes man in Jesus of Nazareth. The Word became flesh, says John. Fully human. Get our heads around this. Fully human. He can be touched. He can be watched. He can be felt. He can be hugged and cherished, or struck and ridiculed. He laughs. He weeps. He rejoices and he grieves. He suffers and he bleeds. And he does all those things as a man. He shares our human condition. Oh, you don't know how I feel. The situation I'm in. The troubles I have. I may not, but he does. He does. He's touched with the feeling of our weaknesses. Hebrews says he's tempted in all the areas that we are. What? Yeah, that one. But surely not when I... Yeah, that one too. These are such important words. But yet without sin. born among us, lived among us, and lived a sinful life, a sinless life. I was amazed. You should have started pelting me with eggs then. And lived a sinless life. And we come here really, don't we, to the heart of the gospel. We're fallen. We're sinful. We're cut off from a holy God. How can that chasm be bridged? How can anyone get across it? How can the foul be cleansed? How can sinners become holy? They need a way back to God. And here's the way, says John. The Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. He is Emmanuel. A perfect life lived in a sinful world. A willing sacrificial death. Please notice that I said willing. I'm always a bit grieved when I hear people talking about the cross as if it was as if it was just an act of supreme injustice done against someone who did not deserve it. It was that. But we always have to bear in mind, he chose that way. He chose that way. He told his disciples beforehand, this is how it's going to end. Well, not end, this is what's going to happen. No, Lord, far be it from you, says Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. So important. He chose it. A willing sacrifice that reestablishes a right relationship for us with God. If we will receive and accept. A mighty resurrection to demonstrate that life in Christ is victorious over death. A sacrifice that's been accepted. My mind, as I was writing these words, went to the song that we sing, the Hillsong. You lived, you died, you rose again on high. You opened the way for the world to live again. Hallelujah for all you've done. Last thing. John says Jesus is the giver of grace. He says grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He says that out of Christ's fullness there is grace in place of grace already given, if you read the NIV. Other translations, once again, someone says grace upon grace. One blessing after another. Blessing upon blessing heaped upon us. I like that one. That's what he gives us. The law came through Moses on Mount Sinai in the desert. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We all need forgiveness, don't we? Have you needed it recently? I don't mean in the last 10 minutes, you're in church now. Though it's not impossible, we all need forgiveness. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. But we can have it as a free gift, if we will, because Jesus has done it. Jesus has obtained it for us, the grace of God. God's undeserved favor, his kindness, his forgiveness, his love. I think I've told you before that if there was one Christian song that I wish I had written, it might be John Pantry's song, Wonderful Grace, that gives what I don't deserve, pays me what Christ has earned, and lets me go free. Is that good? Is that really good? Well, it's apparently fairly good. I want to finish now. In John 1, Jesus doesn't use the word king of Jesus. Though in chapter 12 he talks about that prophecy of Zechariah where Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the donkey, and he applies that to Jesus, Israel's king coming to her. But much of what I've been talking about this morning, and more besides, much, much more besides, is captured in this video clip that I'm going to finish with, an African-American called Dr. Samuel Lockridge of the Calvary Baptist Church in California. And hopefully this video is going to play something that he's entitled, or someone else's, "That's My King. I wonder, do you know him?" And when we've finished watching this, the band are going to come back and lead us in a song about Jesus. And if you want to be prayed for this morning for any reason, there'll be our prayer team available to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't received his grace, they will be delighted to pray with you. But whatever it may be at this time in your life, in your experience, please feel free to take the opportunity. Let's see if we can watch the